All right, well, we're excited to have Rob Wegner with us here, and we are doing a series on seven kind of main questions that people have been asking about missional communities. What are the burning questions? What are the kind of the main questions that people ask, leaders and networks and churches ask as they're kind of wrestling through the implications of this whole missional community thing? And so we're excited to have Rob with us today. He's going to be jumping in with us to deal with some of these questions. Rob, thanks for being with us today, bro.
You bet, man. It's my pleasure, and I love what you guys are pulling together and amplifying through the Verge Network, and I can't wait to be there for the Kingdom Party at Exponential.
Cool. Well, let's just jump right in, man. You know, one of the questions that we get often is, you know, really getting down to the leadership training level. One of the questions we get is how do you train missional community leaders? So I know you guys have been dealing with that. I know you specifically have been really in that, both at the international level in India and here in the States with Granger and what you guys are engaging in missionally there. So let me throw that question out to you. How do you guys train missional community leaders?
Well, the way we've come at this is we were actually doing missional communities in India first. We've been a part of an indigenous church planting movement there for about 10 years. And it's not the typical approach. Like most local churches, they actually pay another organization to do the work for them and then try to take credit for it.
Yeah.
And we've actually been directly involved in training the indigenous leaders, actually doing capacity building. And the way the movement has worked in India is most of the churches, we've got a few large churches that are, you know, mega churches involving 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people. We've got quite a few that are probably somewhere like 100 to 800, but most of our churches are more like rabbit-sized kind of things. They're what most people would call missional communities. They're groups of 20, 30, or 40, or 50 people. They're each reaching a unique pocket of people or a unique people group. But what's unique about it is they're actually small and reproducing, you know, and they're reproducing like rabbits. So we've developed this 15-month coaching process. The first level of training is called the Kingdom of God training. And it basically walks them through five modules of training. And so they'll gather in batches of about 30. And so it's like an intensive training for 2 or 3 days. And it takes them through the startup of a missional community. So it starts with a focus on mission incarnational, like identifying the pocket of people that you're called to. And then we do what we call like relational mapping. So we have them kind of sit down and say, okay, let's talk about everything you do in a month. All right. And then I want you to assign a name to that, you know?
Yeah.
So suddenly they have a map of the people they're actually doing life with, you know, and we help them see like, this is your church. You know, these are the people that you need to start discipling, you know?
And
then
we
go from that mission incarnational focus then next to disciple making. And what does that look like? How do you do kind of post and pre-conversion discipleship? And then there's these kind of layered approach. So they'll come together for an intensive, and it's a practitioner-based model. So each one of these batches is led by a trainer and a coach who successfully led a missional community. And then they're in touch with the folks in their coaching batch like every single week. So there's these intensives, then there's a weekly coaching, and you don't move on to the next module training unless you're actually implementing the first one.
so like obedience-based discipleship and leadership training.
You got it. And it's not like, oh, did I get the information and can I pass the test? It's like, no, are you actually living it? And if you're not, then you don't go on, you know? And we're at a point now where we've had, like, God's given us so much favor, you know, like we've got over 1,000 churches planted with 120,000 people in it that we actually have a very, we have an application process where now, like, the folks that are coming in are such a high quality of disciple at the starting point that, like, virtually no one drops out, you know what I'm saying?
Initially,
you know, you had a lot of dropout, you know what I mean? Because people weren't sure what it was and what it looked like. So basically, we're taking a similar model, and we're doing that back here at home. So each missional community person is, you know, an ordinary revolutionary here at GCC who will receive ongoing training. The leaders will be carefully selected, you know, through an application process. The training is tri-perspectival. You know, we're focusing on the head, the heart, and the hand. So yeah. It's a combination of training, theology, practical skills, character formation, and we're employing the same kind of coaching model. So all the training is done in small batches of like 15 to 30 leaders at a time over a process of 12 to 15 months, of regular meetings with like occasional overnight intensives. And with each batch, you're raising up new coaches and new trainers, you know? So from day one, you're telling everybody, hey, you're going to be a coach. And you, in fact, you're coaching somebody right now. So go.
Yeah.
And so the expectation is, you know, the expectation for reproduction, you know, reproducing is maturity. You know what I'm saying? That's the goal. So that's a quick snapshot, man.
You know, I love the emphasis on obedience base. Tell me a little bit, you know, why it seems, you know, this may be my own personal perspective or whatever. So it's take it for what it's worth. But, you know, it seems like there's such an emphasis on information transfer specifically. And, you know, and I don't know what your kind of church upbringing was, but in my, you know, limited connection with churches as I was growing up, it seemed like there was a real emphasis on just, you know, get the information or you're trained when you have the information and you know, mm-hmm. you can pass the test. What led you guys? Was there an aha moment or was there, you know, for you personally, you know, obedience-based training is counterintuitive to the way that we do things here. Why'd you go that route?
You know, I was very, very fortunate. I grew up in a church that was definitely the information transfer deal. You know, discipleship was sitting in a class, you know, filling out notes, having a little binder. And don't get me wrong, I'm grateful, you know, for like the sheer amount of knowledge, you know, the church I grew up in transferred to me.
The sheer amount of knowledge that you're now going to be held accountable for.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
No, because that's my background too. It's like, you know, definitely the massive amount of teaching and the volume. It's like, man, I'm thankful for it, but I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be held accountable for all that stuff, you know? So
you're right. And man, I was like the sword drill king, and I would slay the other children with my sword every year. I'd be like, yes, I memorized 500 verses this year.
Boom. Yeah.
So, but what I was going to say, man, that, like what happened is in high school, we got a new pastor and he was, you know, assigned to, oversee the students, and he was into this thing. It was called Sun Life. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yeah.
But it was a real disciple making model. And so he really reformatted the whole youth ministry around this very like life on life disciple making model, that was obedience based. And he used like some old school guy named Barry St. Clair. He had this, it's kind of like Navigators for Kids.
Yeah.
Basically. And man, he got me hooked up with this guy named Brad Wildman, who used to be like a deadhead and he was in gangs and sold drugs. And then he met Jesus and he was a Jesus head and just flat out loved Jesus like no one I'd ever met. I remember the first time I prayed with this guy, he got them praying. It was the first time I had like an experience of the palpable presence of God.
Mm.
And so I grew up in church, prayed like thousands of prayers, but this guy, he got them praying. And I was like, I don't think I know how to pray.
Yeah.
Cause something just happened right then that I've never experienced before. And he just did life with me, man. And he taught me how to, you know, how to pray, how to study the Bible, how to be a man of integrity. And so I had this experience in high school that was very rare. And we had this little micro movement that exploded in that youth ministry. Like it was a church of 200 to 300. And like within the year we had, probably 150 kids in that youth ministry. And almost all of them are like brand new to the faith. You know, it wasn't like we were bleeding kids from other youth ministries or something. I mean, it was our friends and we were the ones spreading the gospel. So I had this very unusual experience in the local church as a teenager that really has shaped me since then, you know? But I got to say, you know, we've done the information transfer thing here at Granger too, you know? So, it's not been a pure journey for us. You know, we've done kind of, you know, some of the standard kind of Bible teaching, Bible classes thing. And I think we felt, especially over the last 4 or 5 years, this just it's not making disciples. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like our ground game, it just hasn't been strong enough in terms of that life on life discipling. So I think personally, it's been something that's been a strong value, and it's been something that we've always had at the edges of GCC. And I think as the church got bigger and bigger and bigger, it got easier to do more of the standard systems. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you've got this large, organized church, and you're trying to figure out how can you make as many pathways as possible. And so when you're doing that, it's easy to default to the information transfer. But we, you know, like a lot of churches, you know, as the Reveal survey opened up, it's like, man, we're not getting the results. You know, we're not really seeing the change that we want. And so we're now, like, just all in terms of, you know, rebooting and making sure everything has that reproducing life on life, obedience-based kind of DNA embedded into it.
That's great.